But as I said, 8223-0000. First up tonight, well, it's been in the news. Kevin Rudd, first of all, he said he wanted a big Australia, 35 mil. Then he didn't. Then he appointed a population control person. And now Tony Abbott said that Jesus would turn the boat people back. It's a hot topic. Let's see what Craig Isherwood from the Citizens Electoral Council says about the big Australia notion. Hello, Craig.
Yeah, hi, Jeff. How are you going?
Good, mate.
Yeah, it's good.
How's your Easter?
Oh, pretty quiet, thank goodness.
Yes?
I've just come back from Western Australia, and the population issue for them is a pretty big one, particularly up in the northwest.
Right.
Because that's where all the mineral, 60% of Australia's mineral revenue comes from that area, and they have a big problem with no people up there.
Hmm.
So they have to fly in and fly out people all the time.
It is a pretty horrid place to live. I've got to tell you. I lived in Darwin for 3 years.
Yeah, if you don't have the infrastructure, Jeff, that makes the place habitable, decent air conditioning, cheap power and decent water supplies, of course it's going to be pretty rough. But, I've been watching this very interesting discussion break out on the whole population issue, because it's a discussion that Australia needs to have. Now, I believe Australia is totally underpopulated. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have population pressures in the major cities, which people react to when they hop in their car in the morning and drive 200 metres down to the freeway and then sit in the freeway for 3 hours trying to get to work.
Yeah.
Because the freeway is totally chocked, and it wasn't designed to carry the sort of traffic that's built up in the last 10 years in particular. But the problem we have is that people still enjoy the benefits that come from living in highly dense areas. Like, I think the people in Bondi, for example, might complain about the traffic, but when you look at their population density in that area, there's 8,100 people living in every square kilometre of that area.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 8,100. Now, you compare that to the overall population density of Australia of just 2.9 people per square kilometre, and in the Northern Territory, 0.1. It sort of really highlights the big problem.
Well, it's a love-hate thing. We love the cities. It's why we're one of the most urbanised countries in the world. But we don't want to see them get too big, too out of control.
Well, I think what's happening in Bondi and places like that where you are getting too many, you're getting a lot of high-rise development, is the infrastructure is just literally crumbling in trying to have that many people. But if you take... You look at other forms of infrastructure, you say, well, why are we so reliant on roads and not high-speed rail networks going out into the country, so that if you're on a high-speed train, half an hour or an hour, which is most probably spent on average in a car, takes you into a region where you could actually have a planned city of 100,000 people or a series of planned cities. Now, that's the sort of...
It's doable, Craig. I mean, the thing is, it's doable. Yes, it is, and I don't think anyone could argue that. But do we need to?
Well, the population by natural increase is going to increase, and people want to have access to decent facilities, and it's actually a natural thing for populations to increase unless you put into place policies that deliberately suppress population growth, which is a lot of discussion about that. I mean, last week I talked about the Australian Conservation Foundation wanting to list population growth as a noxious pest next to cane toads and that sort of thing.
Oh, they're genocidalists, those conservation people.
Well, they have the idea that people are a bad news. In fact, the whole philosophy, Jeff, comes from the idea that of this idea of carrying capacity. It's the idea of in ecology that animals have a certain carrying capacity. Like if you take 100 cows and you put them in a paddock of, say, 10 hectares, right, those cows are going to chew out the grass, and if you don't release them or find them other forms of food, eventually they'll die because they're going to exceed their carrying capacity. Well, that's a bit of the idea that a lot of people have about population. The fear comes in because of this fear-mongering that somehow human beings are the same as these beasts, these cows, that don't do anything to change their environment. Now, we have the ability, because we're not animals, we're actually human beings, we have... Oh,
have you been to a few suburbs around Adelaide sometimes, Craig?
Sorry?
There seems to be a tipping point. I'm not sure what it is, whether a city's 1 million, 2 million, where it stops being a big country town and actually starts becoming urbanised and all the problems seem to start. The urban ghettos and things like that.
Yeah, but the problems come from lack of spending in infrastructure. And what happens is, and it's a classic thing in politics, and you hear it all the time, take, for example, healthcare. Go back to 1990s. and Jeff Kennett in 1 year cut 10% out of the healthcare budget and brought in a thing called case mix, and of course a lot of the local regional hospitals shut down. But the first thing that people can start yelling about, oh, there's too many people, and that's why we can't supply the healthcare to the population. That's not true. The reason is because you've cut out the funding to vital, strategic, important, basic economic infrastructure. And that's what the discussion is going to have to be over the next period in the election and longer, is that unless a government is prepared to build, to actually plan and provide decent basic economic infrastructure, including water supplies, decent transportation, even planned cities, and then support in regional areas the development of those cities around strategic industries.
I guess it's good to blue sky think, you know, where does the money come from, I guess?
Well, that's the problem. Again, you're talking about, and you see this debate, it's always going to be defined by the unspoken. That unspoken is you can't talk about the problems of globalization and free trade, and everything has to be done on a user-pays basis. That's the shift in the last 30 years of the Australian economy away from an economy that was actually more internally driven to one that's governed by globalization. So what we talk about is that you can't, under globalization, the entire system is in a process of collapse. And that's measured by how you are taxed more and more.
Australia's doing well. I mean, we raised rates again to try and slow the economy down. I don't see anything crumbling at the
moment. Well, you see it in the form of indirect taxes like water bills and stuff. You're paying more for your water, more for your electricity. And these aren't just literally rises in the cost of production. These are because private entities in many places of this country have bought into basic economic infrastructure, and that infrastructure is wearing out and has to be replaced. So you get the consumer is getting charged more and more. The ordinary citizen is getting charged for things that 30 years ago they weren't charged for.
We know about that. I mean, what do you do there? Does the government take everything back? It's a pseudo-communist sort of regime?
No, not in that sense, Jeff. But see, in some places, like in Britain, they've had to re-nationalise things like the water supply because the private companies failed in trying to provide the service because they're trying to make a profit out of basic economic infrastructure. Now, you take the northwest of Western Australia. The government has invested, the state government there has invested something like $400 million out of the Royalties for Regions program that was brought in by the government in the Julian Gillies National Government in Western Australia. And they've spent that money in developing the Ord River Stage 2, which is allowing for something like 8,000 hectares of new agricultural development, which is absolutely brilliant. But and then further south, you've basically got, in the Pilbara-Kimberley region, you've just got huge numbers of mines digging the wealth out of the country.
Well, that would solve the boat people issue, Craig. People would say, well, I don't know, we'll catch you at Ashmore Reef, we'll lob you up at Christmas Island, and then you can start working the mines.
Well, the BHP and these guys, because of the amount of resource growth, is looking for more and more workers. And, you know, even Julia Gillard said that we should, you know, people should look to the Northwest for actually employment. But what you're getting there is a fly-in, fly-out mentality where the government won't build towns, won't provide infrastructure at the present time, and doesn't look like in the future. And the mining companies won't support, and like they used to, under law actually, the development of regional towns. So you're getting a huge transient population, something like, I heard figures like 26,000 people a week flying in and flying out.
I think that's more lifestyle, really. People, I mean, you think about the people who go for those sorts of jobs. Often they've had quite successful careers and quite educated. And they've got a family and a home base, Adelaide, Perth, wherever, and they leave them behind. So they're not they don't want to set up. It's a short-term thing. They want to make as much money as they can over a year or two, and then they get out.
So the problem is, Jeff, the local towns that are there are suffering greatly because the money's not there to supply the infrastructure.
But if the town was there, it wouldn't make any difference anyway because of the lifestyle of the people choosing those jobs.
The existing towns, like Broome, for example, you're talking about rents to the impoverished peoples of about $1,000 a week. And this has been driven by the mines,
right,
and the cost of bringing people in. Now, you know, we've proposed, and I think on your show many times I've said about building a high-speed ring rail proposal where you'd link Perth up through to Broome, which is a major development area, across the Fitzroy Basin area where you could develop up to 500,000 acres of agriculture in the northern part of the Great Sandy Desert, up through to just south of Kununurra, which is where the Ward River Dam is, stage two is being developed, and then through to Darwin. What you create then is an infrastructure background, a backbone that isn't reliant on transient fly-in, fly-out airlines, which are actually pretty expensive, according to what I heard just in the last week.
Is there a stage two of the Ord River? Is there going to be another Ord River Dam? Is there going to be another one?
They're extending the water up there, that area, and extending the land areas around the Ord River. And that place is completely underdeveloped compared to what the potential is up
there. That's amazing. That's going to have the people who are, you know, there's a lot of people who still advocate having a pipeline running from the Ord River scheme down to here, and the fact that they've got so much water they're extending the thing, they're going to be foaming at the mouth, I reckon, Craig.
Well, the interesting thing in the agriculture is that because the Murray-Darling system has been in drought and also been the infrastructure for water projects like the Clarence River scheme, which would run water into that system, and also the development of Snowy Mountain scheme stage two, hasn't been built. A lot of rice growers can't grow rice there, so they're moving up into the Ord.
Which makes a lot of sense.
And some wheat farmers are moving up there where they believe they can grow wheat, which will yield something like 14 times the amount of wheat that they're getting in the southern areas. So,
now, Craig, I have to leave it there. People want to get in touch, find out more?
On our website, Jeff, it's www.cecaust.com.au, or if people want to give us a call, 1-800-636-432, we can shoot out our infrastructure new citizen that spells this out in spades. We have a lot of information on this subject, and we will be saying a lot more in the course of the federal election.
Which is this year, as we know. All right, Craig.
Okay, thanks, Jeff.
The open line, 8223W.